In this episode, we discuss Gwyneth Paltrow's latest excuse to start singing, Country Strong. Welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCloy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot the Belliot Kalen. It's a new nickname I'm working out. I don't know what it means, but I'm trying it out.
Yeah. It's because you gained all that weight over the Thanksgiving holiday.
I thank you for calling attention to that. I gained 72 pounds over the Thanksgiving holiday.
Seems inaccurate.
I ate five or six full turkeys. I blacked out after the fifth one, and then they just told me I had some more.
That's because of the tryptophan in the turkey that made you black out.
Exactly, and I sleep ate. So, you know.
Okay.
A lot of Doritos, too.
Burritos?
No, Doritos.
Okay.
Fill inside burritos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dorito burritos. I call them Derbers.
This is the first time we've all been together since your wedding. I mean, first time for the show that we've all been together, at least.
Yeah. My wedding. Dan's talking to me.
Yeah, we've all got wedding rings on right now.
Uh-huh. So, no girls allowed.
Nope. Wait, no, that's boys not, only.
Where the girls not, aren't.
Exactly the opposite of what this means.
The manhole.
I understand. All right, well.
Guys.
I guess we're all married to each other. I wasn't aware
married
that
to the
was
flop.
What was going on, yeah. But, you know, I'm comfortable with that.
Are you? Here, let me put my hand on your leg.
Feels
if,
right.
TV and movies are to be believed.
And of course they are.
I am never going to have sex again, and I wear a lot of slacks.
Yes.
So, wait, a lot of slacks? So like several at the same time?
Yeah, multiple pairs.
Five pairs of slacks, because I want to like give my genitals a big insulation, like a cushion.
Yeah, well, you're not going to use them. So
I want to look like a muffin down there.
Sure.
You're going to have your own special place in the garage.
Thank you for coming to my wedding, guys. I'm sorry that Dan didn't bring the recording equipment so that our listeners could get a snippet, a taste of...
There was a request for it.
But...
I think better they didn't get a taste, because it would be hard for anyone to get a taste of the wedding without being so unhappy that they weren't there.
Also,
when they found out how good it was.
Just like a single taste would have driven them mad.
Exactly. Nothing would ever be so good again.
Sure.
If I was recording the wedding too, like all that people would hear would be splash, 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 pool.
People yelling pool.
Yep. Or
and just the sound of Speedos slapping against each other.
And somewhere in the background, "We've Got to Take Control" by Bobby Brown. Con Ghostbusters 2.
Wouldn't it be Ghostbusters Dose?
I don't think they say that, do they?
I mean, that's the number 2.
No, I know,
in
but
Spanish.
But I mean, in other countries,
Los Bustos de los Fantasmas Dos.
That's not how they do it.
Oh, how do they do it?
I don't know.
Okay.
You want to say anything about your wedding, Stuart, or should we?
It was lovely. Thank you for all the well wishes. All of our listeners who gave us well wishes on the Facebook page,
and for those who didn't give Stuart well wishes,
shame.
Fuck you.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches and daughters. I don't discriminate.
Sons of daughters?
Yeah.
Sons
of daughters.
That's
Everyone's
true.
Probably a son of a daughter.
Well, except for one.
Yeah.
But he's, yeah. Anyway, it was a great wedding. And next time, you should invite all the Flophouse listeners.
I should, right?
To your
now,
next wedding.
Are we spending all this time talking about my wedding because the movie we watched tonight was... I mean, really good, or
yeah, it was
we
so
have
good.
Bad
we have nothing
to say.
To say.
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched a movie called "Country Strong."
Los Strongos del Country.
Sure.
In Spanish.
This was Gwyneth Paltrow. I can only assume sing.
You can only assume it's Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Could have been a skeleton.
I mean,
some Halloween skeleton with, sure, a, wig
with a blonde wig.
I can
it.
Only assume it was Gwyneth Paltrow. I mean, I was not there.
Okay,
it could have been someone
until
in
we
a
do
Gwyneth
DNA
Paltrow
tests.
Suit.
Yeah, that's
sure.
True.
No, I was gonna
like
say
Doug Jones in a Gwyneth Paltrow suit.
Well, he's a very talented physical performer. I'm
yeah.
sure he could do it. No, I was gonna say this is. I can only assume that this was Gwyneth Paltrow seeing Jeff Bridges. having made Crazy Heart.
Did Crazy Heart, did this come out after Crazy Heart?
It did, yeah.
Yeah, and be like, I got to get on that.
To the same accolades.
No, not at all. Not at all.
The weird thing, okay, follow me, guys.
Okay, then we should probably say what this movie was about.
Is Garrett Hedlund, the guy in this movie.
Yeah, the beautiful Garrett Hedlund.
Was in the Tron movie.
Tron Legacy.
With Jeff Bridges.
Uh-oh, full
was
circle.
In Last Picture Show. With Cloris Leachman.
Okay.
Okay.
Keep it going.
Who was on
in Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein.
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks, who was in Life Stinks with the cast of Life Stinks. Should have picked a Mel Brooks movie that I knew the cast of. Oh, that was a mistake.
Oh, God.
Who was in Spaceballs with Pizza the Hut. Who was in Last Tango in Paris with Marlon Brando. Marlon Brando and Pizza the Hut made a number of films together.
He plays himself all the time, Marlon Brando.
Yeah. And then Pizza the Hut just disappears into the roles.
Yeah.
That was him as the lead woman in Last Tango in Paris.
Yeah.
Pizza the Hut.
Mm-hmm. He's like, rub this pizza grease on your ass. And then, okay.
Okay, Pervisoid.
Yeah, that's weird.
I know we were talking about Last Tango in Paris, okay. But still weird.
So pizza grease on one's ass.
Sounds like it would burn you.
Yeah, I think we've already addressed the effects of pizza country on strong. One's genitals.
Everyone.
Country Strong. So what's Country Strong about? I'm glad you asked. Gwyneth Paltrow plays Kelly, last name withheld.
Cantor.
Kelly Cantor.
You know, like when a horse slowly walks somewhere?
Or like the sacred singer in Jewish prayer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't think it's spelled that way.
How's it spelled?
I don't know.
They're spelled the same way. Actually, I think it's spelled a little differently. Kelly Cantor, who is an hit country music superstar sensation. They say it a couple times. She's a 6-time Grammy winner.
Wow.
Multi-platinum recording artist.
Like a woman Garth Brooks.
Exactly. Garthina Brooks. But we find her in rehab. Seems she's had a little bit of a problem, which involved a miscarriage and alcohol. So I don't know why I said a little bit of a problem in a coy way, as if it was cute or funny. She's being pushed by her husband/manager to leave rehab and get back in the biz.
Played by real-life country strong Tim McGraw.
Yes, he is a real-life country strong, as opposed to the actors playing country strongs, which the rest of the movie is. Not to be confused with Tug McGraw, who is not in the film, but should have been. Tim McGraw, who's a real-life country star who does not sing in the movie, but the other actors do. Who are these other actors? Where there's Garrett
Hedlund,
who plays an orderly at the rehab center, who's also a country singer.
I thought he was her sponsor.
He calls her. He says he's her sponsor, but he's not.
Okay.
And he's also he's having an affair with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Which is what a sponsor shouldn't do.
Yes. As seen in season 2 of Dexter. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
For Dexter.
That was, all right.
Season 2.
Thank you.
Second season.
The second season
it's
of
not
Dexter.
Very good.
Okay.
But it picks up again.
All
but
right.
Not in season 3. Gets worse.
Is this a Dexter cast?
I thought this was the Flopster.
Oh, sorry.
Flopfexter.
No, the other country strong.
You can't say Flixer because that's already exists.
That's taken,
I think.
But the end, there's another young country singer that Tim McGraw is pushing, played by Leighton Meister, who's a former beauty pageant who is now wants to be a country singer. But she has stage fright, which she gets over in about 5 minutes.
I'm only to assume this is after she has that roommate problem in which she is the problem in the movie we watched, right? She's the roommate that kills that kitty, and then Lila Gary has to kill her.
Minka Kelly
has to throw her out a window or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how did she die in that? Did she get thrown out a window?
Thrown out a window onto a bullet or something.
that's where how it was, I think.
Probably.
Bullet was in a tree, which was the weird thing.
So
there's not a lot of plot in this movie.
Yeah.
There's just like Gwyneth Paltrow goes back on tour.
It's like a mumblecore movie.
It is like a mumblecore movie because everyone, you can't hear what people are saying half the time.
And it's about real life situations.
Not really. I mean, it's kind of loosely based on the same story you've seen in other country music movies that are based on real people, where it's like she has a drinking problem. It's hard to deal with the stress of being famous and being a country singer. Her husband, she thinks, is cheating on her with Leighton Meister, although we never actually see that happen.
Yeah.
She's threatened by Leighton Meister's up-and-comingness. she relies on the strength of Garrett Hedlund, but not as much as she should.
That's Bo, right? That's the character, Bo.
Yeah, Bo.
Bo and Leighton Meester is Chili's, or?
Her name is Chiles Stanton.
Okay. That's not a real name, though, right?
No. Well, neither is Bo something. Or...
Well, I mean, I've heard the name Bo before. I've never heard somebody named Chiles.
Chiles sounds like it would be like an undercover cop in a TV show, or like a drug dealer or something.
Dan?
Or a restaurant.
I thought it was Giles for a while. And somebody's butler was supposed to walk into the
it's
room.
It's not Chiles?
It's not Childs. It's not Childs. Either. I thought it was Childs 2.
But... Yeah. Childs 2, the sequel?
The parenting.
Now they're the parents. But basically, like, there's a song that Gwyneth Paltrow's going to sing.
Goonies sequel, by the way.
Goonies 2, the parenting?
Yeah, where the Goonies are now the parents, and they have a new crop of Goonies.
They've got to teach how to goon.
Yeah.
The goonening.
They have to remember what it's like to be a Goonie. It's like a coon.
Well, because they've sold out after the success of the first Goonies.
Yeah, well, because they had all that money from King Willie's Gold or whatever the shit.
No, Willow. From Willow's Gold.
Okay. So, back to Country Strong.
So, anyway, it's a big ball of soap opera, but not a lot really happens. There's some crying, there's some fussing, there's some feuding. Gwyneth Paltrow manages to pull it together for the final big concert in Dallas, where she had her mishap that led to her drunkenly losing her baby. And then, spoiler alert, she dies from an overdose of pills.
Yeah.
And, deliberate overdose.
Deliberate overdose. She commits suicide. And then Leighton Meester and Garrett Hegman.
Like a phoenix reborn from the ashes.
Garrett Hegman's. Goes
a new generation of country strongs are unleashed upon the world.
And it's ended with the promise of a professional cooperation and maybe more romance between Lincoln Makers and German Gubitz.
I think they were better with the romance than the professional.
I mean, they're both famous now.
I mean, in comparison to what? Like, they don't really give you a sense of the outside world and famousness. Like, you don't see their cover on Star Magazine or anything.
No, but you see that, you hear
that. That's how I judge if somebody's famous or not.
But they do, like, big press conferences, and a reporter asks him, what's it like to have your life change almost overnight?
But what if it's like, it's all you like gaslighting or something? Like,
they
want to
steal his jewelry. So, in the game, so you're saying that this is all something his brother set up to entertain him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For his birthday?
Yeah, it's all a part of a big birthday celebration.
I don't think so.
Okay.
And there's nothing in the film to support that reading. Hey, but you're right. There's no sense of... We occasionally see, like, cheering fans outside of a concert, and we see the audience clap along to songs, but there's no sense of that these people exist in a world that has anyone in it but these people.
And the... whatever fame they might have, at no point do you see them living differently... Like, he's still got that scraggly beard. He's still wearing a weird shirt.
He dresses the same, yeah.
Like, they always, people always walk into scenes in this movie as if they forgot they were going to be in a movie that day. Yeah.
Well, if there's one thing young, handsome stars are known for, it's for being clean-shaven and kempt, Stuart. That's, we live in an age of real, snappy, sharp.
Wow.
I don't understand.
Really? You're jumping all over him like this.
Well, I mean, at least like there, most actors.
This could
when
this
they
be the end of the Flophouse?
Dan, most
this
actors
episode
when
of
they...
the Flophouse probably not. It would be an abrupt.
Yeah, that's true.
Way to finish that.
It'd
episode.
Be like the Twin Peaks ending. Spoiler alert. And then, but what I'm saying is that
Garrett, we all have to imagine that someone come and save us from the Black Lodge, as I like to imagine.
Okay.
Okay, let's go deep into our fucking Twin Peaks mythos here. So, no,
right,
all
so
I'm
the
saying
backwards
is
talking dwarf.
Is the Bo character has a beard that looks like somebody glued it on his face in patches. Like, it's not a real beard.
No. It looks like he gets up every morning, starts to shave, and goes,
I don't know if he even shaves. It's like he takes a pair of like fingernail clippers to some of his beard and then gives up.
He takes a piece of masking tape and he just kind of sticks it on his face, and whatever hair gets pulled out, it gets pulled out.
And he sells the rest to a doll company.
Yep. Very Dickensian.
So he pays the bills on this horrible life he lives.
It's
so.
Called getting a Nicaraguan, by the way. Brazilian, they use wax. Nicaraguan is just masking tape.
Yeah, it mainly just gets lint out of the beard. That's the primary. But I mean, like the you know, like
I also
real...
forgot to mention Well, after you say, I forgot a character. So
the Kevin Smith cameo, is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about Gwyneth Paltrow has found in the forest around the rehab place a tiny bird that she has named Loretta Lynn to remind us of better country singers, and she says, "I'm taking care of him." And her husband, for some reason, decides, "I'm going to take this bird away from you." And then later,
you can't have nice things.
And then just
but
carries.
I'm gonna go along with it and carry this fucking box around all the time.
You see him carrying a box with a little bird in it all around.
I mean, you know, it's a good way to sort of keep people on their guard. You're not expecting them to have, like, a bird in a box.
And as an actor like Tim McGraw, who's kind of new to the whole acting biz, it's good for him to have, like, a physical object for him to kind of.
Because he doesn't know what to do with his hands.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, he just put them in his pockets otherwise.
Yeah.
So no, I was going
to
say.
He's so used to strumming a guitar, you know, guys?
A keytar.
Mm-hmm. A keytar.
That's why he was strumming that bird through most of the movie.
Strumming the. Yeah, and the bird would just go, "It's a living."
Uh-huh. No, I was gonna say that, you know, like the real triumph of this movie, of course, is it's a cavalcade of likable characters, the characters that we really care about.
It is
admire,
a movie where
we enjoy.
When a major character dies, you're like, oh, yeah, all right. Like, there's not even a pang of anger at the movie for killing a character for no reason.
That's one less character to sing songs.
Guess they weren't country strong enough.
When Gwyneth Paltrow kills herself at the end, you are left kind
spoiler
of thinking,
alert.
Like,
spoiler alert. Yeah,
you talked
essay.
About it already. You.
Dan, don't ruin the movie.
When she kills herself at the end, it kind of feels like, okay, yeah, that was a reasonable response. Like, that was a move. That,
yeah, she wants to burn out. She doesn't want to fade away.
Yeah, exactly.
Logical move for you to make. I mean, you
wants
kind
to live
of
live fast, die young, and leave a skeletal corpse.
From what we've seen, you don't really have that much to offer people. So. Sure, why not?
Yeah, none of these characters create any sense of connection with the audience.
But what about when she made all those friends at that bar when she was wasted and then left that bird to die?
And she also sang a song for a kid with leukemia who made a wish.
Yep, and she had sex with that sleazy concert promoter.
Almost had sex with a sleazy concert promoter.
Well, she might have been
having sex.
See,
I think she was mid-sex when
they were getting there, but I don't think.
I mean, they were wearing a lot of clothes, but she's, you know, we covered this.
I don't know.
You know what?
Oh,
I'm
yeah, that's
about.
True. We did. Okay, not something that the listeners need to hear.
I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, I don't need my main characters to necessarily
be likable.
Like, yeah, but I mean, there's nothing to latch onto. Or like, she like this is a character who is like mid-30s, meltdown through the entire film. Like, she like we see two. Concerts where she totally dicks over her fans by like coming out like the first one she comes out half finishes two songs and then leaves because she can't do
she's
anything
having a mental breakdown.
The second one she's so
breakdown.
Drunk that she can't go out on stage at
she's having some kind of a metamorphosis, you
she's
know?
Constantly
turns into a big cockroach.
She's constantly having sex with Bo, but then like
well that's
yelling
implied.
At her
we don't
husband.
Actually see her constantly having sex with him.
Yeah, it's like not like she's on stage singing while she's having sex with him.
All right,
yeah.
She's having sex with Bo all
she alludes
a
to
lot.
It.
And then when there's a
and
scene,
then she's getting mad at her husband all the time.
For smiling
for,
at women.
Yeah, possibly.
She suspects her husband of like grooming Leitenmeister to be his next woman, I guess, but there's really no evidence that he's doing that. And at the same time, Gwyneth Paltrow is openly pretty much having an affair with Bo. Like, and we know that from moment one of the movie, you know.
So that's going on. You got her husband, who, like, broke her out of rehab early.
Yeah, he gave her a cake with a file in it.
Yep.
Basically just because he was like, okay, well, you're my meal ticket. You're the big country star. We got to get you back on the road.
Yeah.
So he's not great. You got Bo, who is screwing this unstable woman.
And he does a lot of scowling and whining.
And then he's also putting the moves on Leighton Meester. And then when it looks
putting
like...
Putting the penis on Leighton Meester.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does put his penis on her.
On her? Yeah, well. Just lays it gently on the crown of her head.
Give her an idea.
It's like, called a Trojan helmet.
He's like, hold on. He's like, this
it's called a Spartan.
This penis is really this is a little heavy. Like I've been carrying this thing around between my legs all day. Can I just rest it on you for a moment?
Well, she was asleep. She didn't know.
Can you help me carry the load?
but
she, I mean, Leitenmeister starts out being a very unlikable character, and then I felt becomes a more likable character.
She's the only one I liked, and the like.
But she
and those dimples didn't hurt anything, you know.
Sure, she's a cute lady,
real cutie pie.
She's a sweetie pie, honey.
It almost made me she's forget a real what little a crazy tomato. Roommate she was. Remember, guys, she was in the roommate.
She had those weird taste in art.
I think she was playing a different character, Stuart. I think that these are two separate characters.
I prefer to believe it's the same character.
We'll talk about that later. Like Patrick Swayze in Point Break and Roadhouse?
Yes.
But then there's like this weird moment at the end where like...
Or James Earl Jones in Star Wars and The Great White Hope.
Yep, same person.
And Coming to America, same person. He's king of an African country and then he becomes king of a space empire.
That's what Darth is? That's the title? Is
Space
king?
Empire King.
But, wouldn't he be an emperor?
No, there is an emperor already.
Okay, so he's a vassal king.
Of a principality, exactly, sure. Yeah.
He's the Cape Viscount, right?
Yeah, he's much higher than a Viscount.
Okay. Yeah, he said king. I'm going to go with that.
Let's do this. Come on.
No, but like it also bothers
king
me
of space
that the two young country strongs, Bo and Leighton Meester, like they both want to be country stars. Like they both want to sing
country
music.
Strong, yeah.
They're opening for Gwyneth Paltrow's character, but for some reason, Bo like lays this like weird guilt trip on Leighton Meester about like, oh, you can sing your pop country music.
Well, they try to,
and then like seems like he's mad at her at the end when she's like soaking in the adoration of the crowd.
They try to draw a line between that he's the real, he's got the soul of an artist. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care if he's performing in a stadium or in a grungy biker bar, mm-hmm. as long as he's playing his music the way he wants to play his music, and he stands for real country, old time soul. Whereas Leighton Meester is like a pop Carrie Underwood type, except their songs sound exactly
the same.
Yeah, it'd
there's
be
no
like
difference.
If like Justin Bieber was complaining about all these sellouts that play shitty pop music.
If Justin Bieber was like, Kesha, you've got to really find the soul of your music, you know.
And then he comes out and plays what that baby song he sings. Sorry if I've just alienated all the Flophouse listeners who are real Bieber fanatics.
Real Beeb heads.
Yeah, well, we play mainly to an audience of tweens. That's what I find when I look at our demographic breakdowns.
Our demos?
Yeah, when
what is the network.
I can't believe you hired that demographics company to find out the numbers, to do a poll of our listeners.
All
we found out
LA,
that most of them own computers.
It's going to help us with our LA, advertising.
You need
dollars,
to increase your Q rating.
Yeah, what's my Q rating right now? Like 8?
Yeah, it's 8.3.
Is that good? What's that out of? Like 8.32?
I don't know. I know that Stuart has 12 wormy boners.
that's better than good. Last year. I was only at 10 wormy boners.
And Dan, how many boring Leonardos are you at?
I don't want to get into
how many Leonardo Scrooge McDucks are you?
Like I'm the
okay. What's your Cyclops quotient?
The study, so I don't. It was mainly about you two, and about how many tweens we could draw.
Are you? What's your Pervisoid rating? You still at number one, or have you slipped in the rankings?
I am
like,
Pervisoid.
Has Brett Ratner surpassed you as a Pervisoid?
He is more of a dick, and I'm the Pervisoid.
Okay, as a Pervisoid,
I have a more important question. Is the city Duckburg on the planet that Howard the Duck is from? And if so, does Scrooge McDuck know quack foo?
I don't know if the demographics people can answer that. It's really more of an astrophysics question.
And then I have a sub-question. What are the tenets of quack foo, and why does it just look like he dodges around and hits people with objects he finds?
Well, that's the tenet of quack foo.
Sure.
Don't get hit. Hit people with objects you find.
Yeah. Mainly a style of fighting based around fighting human beings as opposed to other ducks.
Yes. Well, it's quack foo teaches you to fight people who are bigger and less feathered than you.
Sure.
It's much like it has a lot of things in common with the double dragon fighting style.
Okay.
Except that with quack foo, you don't expect your enemies to fade away and turn into big things of meat that you eat.
Uh huh. Why were the giant guys in Double Dragon called a Bobos?
It's just their name.
Okay, Dan, go back to what we were talking about.
I think we're talking about.
What were we talking about? Quacktree Strong?
Country Strong.
So, Country Strong is the name of a song that Gwyneth Paltrow does sing.
Yeah.
So by the time you get to that song, you're like, Country Strong.
Yeah, this is what I came to see.
Oh, wait, lots of Country Strong.
There we got title. About an hour and a million years into it.
I mean,
this is a very slow board. Well, the thing is, it's such a cliche old story. Like, the fading star, the up-and-coming star, the rivalries, the two men. And, like, they could have made this movie in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, yeah. the 70s, except in those versions, it would have been like over the, it would have been so much more emotional and so much more big. What? And here it was like just kind of all sub, it's that 90s style of filmmaking, or not 90s, sorry, that 21st century of filmmaking where everything's like really subdued and not, there's not a lot of energy to anything.
Well, and the only innovation they've added is in making you not sympathize with any of the major characters. I mean, this is a movie that, like, clearly the thing, the driving force behind it was Gwyneth Paltrow being like, I like to sing. And people, you know, telling Gwyneth Paltrow that she has a nice voice, which she does.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, but, like, that was the
thing. She's Andrea like, Bocelli, but who is?
A good, yeah, I'm not, like, screaming and tearing in my ear holes.
But a good quarter of the film, at least, was musical.
Except in pleasure.
Was musical performances.
Yeah.
And everyone, I think, was credible as country singers.
Yeah, no one embarrassed themselves.
Yeah. But that's about as
no one had to do any, like, talk singing, yeah. like actors do when they can't really sing.
Like I've grown accustomed to her face.
Exactly, like, basically Rex Harrison, yeah. But bring a woman to your life. You know, it's...
It's kind of interesting that that these actors got so... like into the project, so invested in the project to spend all this time, like basically trying to become country singers first and then be in this movie second. Like, it's not like the fucking dialogue leapt off the page. Like,
no, that's true.
It's, I mean, I think, like, it is the singing. I mean, that was probably the quality of the ink. Like, people who perform have the disease where they want to get up also and sing in front of people.
Okay.
Well, everyone wants to sing.
So you're saying that the opportunity to pursue a fake singing career was what,
right.
what
well it's very easy for a fake singing career to become a real singing career.
Okay.
And frankly, like, it's kind of weird.
And frankly?
Yeah. And frankly, the diary writer, yeah. Well, I won't get into that too much.
Sure.
That's not
a funny tangent.
That's not a profitable line of comedy. America seems to be one of the few countries where big actors don't automatically have a singing career. Like, I watched As Tears Go By, the Wong Kar-wai movie recently, and I was looking up stuff about it, and I didn't even realize that, like, the big Hong Kong stars are also huge music stars. Like, Andy Lau has an enormous singing career, you know, and it's taken for granted, like, you're a big star, so you're a big star in everything, you know. So I guess Gwyneth wanted
sports,
a little taste of that
singing,
action.
Mm-hmm. Painting.
Painting, yeah, sculpture. Engraving.
Sure.
Physics.
Wait, did you already say sculpture?
I think so. I think that's
that
why
too.
You're thinking of it.
Yeah.
But so let me ask you a question. Or did you have something you were going to say, Dan?
No.
Let me open up the table to Discussione.
Okay.
Okay, so the movie Crazy Heart, did you guys see it?
Yes.
Yep.
I thought...
That's not what we watch tonight. We watch Country Strong.
No, I didn't mean, did you see it tonight?
Okay.
Have you seen it in the past?
Yes, I have.
So... this movie, in terms of the overall outlines of the plot, not that different from Crazy Heart.
Right.
But Crazy Heart was a much better movie. What do you think the difference is? Is it just that the writing was better, or what? That you could hear what people were saying when they talked, or?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't think that there is anything in Crazy Heart where, like, that character... is inherently more likable, like, by his actions.
That's
though,
true. Well,
I'm
he does
saying.
Think like he loses a kid at a mall. He's a bad boyfriend.
But Jeff Bridges has just an inherent likability. Whereas, I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow, I don't share the hate that a lot of people have for her. Like, I've liked her in things, but she is noted for having sort of a chilly demeanor. So if you make her
an
unlikable character.
So being a self-destructive diva,
yeah,
fits Jeff Bridges, but not Gwyneth Paltrow.
Interesting. Okay, that's a good answer.
And also the Crazy Heart doesn't quite so much have that, like, the reflected, like, here's a star past their prime, and these are some new up and coming stars. Crazy Heart, I don't feel really. I mean, it kind of had
true.
It with Colin Farrell, but he was more.
He's already a star. He's like, it's Crazy Heart. Colin Farrell has already far surpassed Jeff Bridges. And
yeah.
Jeff Bridges is...
And the story's not really about him,
whereas
this movie, a lot of it's about the fucking Beau character, who's fairly broadly drawn.
Yeah, very bland.
And I can also genuinely buy the sort of issues of authenticity that Crazy Heart tries to bring, because they do differentiate the sounds of the different types of country music
that are
used in that movie.
Those are all good answers.
And Jeff Bridges is the Crazy Heart Jeff Bridges character, bad, whatever, is a much more believable alcoholic to me than Gwyneth Paltrow, who all of a sudden, her alcoholism is displayed by every once in a while you'll walk into a room and she'll be shit-faced with a bottle of vodka in her
hand. Yeah, I mean, like, that was one of the things about the movie, is like, I knew going in that she was supposed to be playing an alcoholic, but I was like, I wonder when the alcoholism's supposed to kick in. And then I was just like, oh, there's a bottle of vodka on the table. I guess she's supposed to be drunk right now. I didn't get that.
Yeah, whereas in Crazy Heart, it feels like alcohol is just a necessary component to his life at all times.
Coming out of his pores at all moments.
I mean, if you go to see the Sense Around version. I think those are all good examples. Okay, now Country Strong,
on the other hand, has Gwyneth Paltrow singing to a bald child in a cancer ward.
Yeah, I mean, he's not bald.
I brought up cancer afterwards.
He's not in
a
cancer ward. He's in a classroom.
All right.
And two, you say bald child as if that's crazy. It's because he has a horrible life-threatening
disease.
No,
I say that as if...
Like, get a wig, kid. That's what I'm saying.
I say that...
He's wearing a hat.
I say that as if to...
That just accentuates his lack of hair.
To bring attention
sadness?
To the fact...
To bring sadness to our listeners?
That if you want bathos, if you want a movie that
you can't just
wallows in... Like, there's nothing more just like to make you feel creepy and ooky than Gwyneth Paltrow...
like the Addams Family?
singing to this cancer child with her, like... you know, like acoustic. So I don't know.
For guys,
it feels like when Paltrow, the actress, being like, "This is the scene."
Yeah, this is what's gonna win me that Oscar.
I'm gonna
either that or one of the scenes where I yell.
Me and the sick child. That's what's gonna put me over the edge.
The one where she yells about her dead baby bird or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Or wait, did that not happen?
I don't. They kind of gloss over.
They probably cut
that
out. That was in the alternate ending that we didn't get to see.
The original ending, they walk in on her. This is my assumption. I read that the DVD has the original ending, but we don't know what it is. We didn't watch the DVD. We watched it off of TiVo. So here's what I imagine. They walk into her room. There's pills on the table. They can't wake her up. Uh-oh. They're going, Kelly, Kelly, wake up. Oh, what did you do? Kelly, Kelly. And they're, oh, God, she's dead. She pops up. Gotcha. I'm okay, but my bird is dead. Cut to the funeral, tiny casket.
Bird funeral,
the
sure.
Paul bearers are all other
Paul
birds.
Paul Bearer, the sidekick of The Undertaker?
Yes.
Okay. That's
Paul,
weird.
He's performing
WWE,
the service.
Country music, I get it.
Yeah, they put a tiny shoebox into the dirt. Mm-hmm. But there's a huge monument above it.
Oh, of course.
Like many, many times life size.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the bird has a book tucked under its wing. And in the other wing, it holds a star.
Okay. So it's like a songbird.
And she says... For you, Birdie Bird, because she's already forgotten Loretta Lynn is the name of the bird.
Okay.
For you, Birdie Bird, I will continue to be. And she turns to the camera, close up, look at the camera, Country Strong. Mm-hmm. Title comes up. You hear a gunshot for some reason, but no one's hurt. Just like an exciting, like, pew, pew. Fireworks go off.
Yosemite Sam, sure.
Then we cut to obligatory rap scene.
Okay.
She tells the story of the movie in rap form.
With fish eye lines. And...
Exactly.
While the animated ghost of the dead bird flits around her shoulders.
Well, the ghost of the dead bird is like her hype man. It's like, uh-huh, yeah, nodding its
like
head.
Like Mugs from Cypress Hill, sure. Okay.
Yeah, that's the end of the movie.
Okay, and then as the credits roll, it cuts to Gwyneth Paltrow, and it says, 2 years later, and she's finally finishing the screenplay for Country Strong, fingers covered in ink or whatever.
Yeah.
And she goes, perfect.
From her computer, yeah. She goes, perfect, and then says, Country Strong will return in Country Strong 2, Country Stronger.
Oh, perfect.
The original ending.
I don't know why they changed it.
For this downer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to our final judgments on this movie.
I do want to say, one last thing I want to say about the movie is that a former Daily Show writer and current co-writer of Will Shatner's memoirs, Chris Regan, on his Twitter feed had the funniest Country Strong joke, I thought, which was that Country Strong was Tarzan's campaign platform.
All right.
Anyway, so, final judgments.
This is a good, bad movie, a bad, bad movie, a movie you kind of liked. Stuart, how do you feel?
Yeah, I'd probably say it's a bad, bad movie. Like, it's really slow. There's not a lot there. It's fairly broadly drawn, fairly bland. I'm not a big country music fan. And the things I am a fan of, boobs, killing, all that sort of stuff, it's not in this movie.
Very few maniacs, invisible or otherwise. Yes. No freaks of the castle variety or what have you.
So because of that, I would probably say it's a bad, bad movie. So if you are like me, you shouldn't see it.
Elliot?
I would also call it a bad, bad movie. It was very boring and dull. And they're just, like Stuart's saying, there wasn't a lot there. It was like they had the very barest outline of a movie and didn't fill it in. The characters didn't feel like characters. They just kind of felt like types. And they just kind of wandered around, and there was no sense of anyone having any stake in what was going on.
Mainly frowning.
Yeah, a lot of frowning and mumbling. And I do like country music of the older variety that Bo is supposed to be a fan of, but they don't really play any. Like, sometimes it plays on the soundtrack, you know.
Yeah.
But it was nothing much for the country fan, but for the Gwyneth Paltrow fan. She does a lot of Gwyneth Paltrow-y things, so, you know. I would call it bad, bad, unless you're a Paltrow head. A Paltroon, I think they're called.
I'll say it was bad, bad. It was just a bunch of unpleasant people driving around on a bus, occasionally stopping to sing songs.
So that sounds like the Magical Mystery Tour movie.
Yeah.
Sounds like a
But that had the decency for to only be an hour long, and the actual music was better.
Yeah, true. Stuart, nice Sark reference.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool. I remember his name because it rhymes with fart.
Okay, just took away your intellectual points.
So just
back down to zero.
Just a few bits of business before we get on to
any
letters.
Kibbles of business or just
bits
of business?
Is this my
some kibbles mainly bits?
Is this my monthly employee review?
Yeah.
Bits of business, gentlemen. Stuart is fired.
Stuart, your voice.
House cat, you are rehired.
Wait, was that why the house cat hasn't been around for a while?
Yeah,
he got
fired. He hasn't been rehired yet.
What was it? Was it because of something
was
he
it
did?
Drug testing? Was it related?
It was drug related.
Oh, man.
And have you heard about the whole Penn State thing?
Wait, what?
Oh, God.
I don't want to say anymore.
Well, wow, this could really hurt the house cat's popularity.
Yeah.
Terrible thing to say.
He's a beloved Flophouse character, but... a huge child molestation scandal, I think, would take that away.
No, he was one of those kids that pushed over that bus.
Oh.
Well, that's still pretty bad.
Man. Yeah, but he just did it because he likes mayhem.
Okay, so he wasn't supporting Joe Paterno.
No, he just likes to knock
he's
over
just,
things.
He's just chaotic evil.
Well, yeah, and, I mean,
he's
he thought it was
animal.
A party. Yeah, he's a party animal.
I like to believe the house cat released a statement afterwards saying, I thought it was just a wild party. I in no way support Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky. The house cat draws a very strong line around the protection of children. There's no party that gets so out of control a child should be hurt.
See, yours sincerely, you gotta be his press guy. You gotta do his sound bites.
Well, you know, he fired me.
Yeah, well.
So actual business.
Party hard enough.
Because that was his complaint, that I didn't party hard enough.
None.
I said, you need someone around who doesn't party. And he threw a bottle at me. And I said, house cat, it used to be about the parties. And he said, it still is. And I was like, oh, you're right.
So in non-house cat related business.
Is there any?
First, quickly, thanks to Jeremy M. for his donation.
Hey, thanks, man.
The M stands for money.
Millionaire.
In the last episode, we teased talking about the Flophouse Wiki, and then
we
did not say anything about it.
Kind of half forgot and half ran out of time.
But there, you know, if you go to the show notes for this show, there'll be a link to the wiki. And, yeah. My request for listeners to create an actual Wikipedia page for me ended up in them creating an entire wiki devoted to the Flophouse.
They're doing a great job.
About 195 pages at last count on topics including the popcorn trick.
The popcorn trick.
My pizza order.
Invisible Maniac. There's a whole entry for, wait, what? Come on, for mirrors. They've been doing a great job lately of filling out the individual episodes with descriptions of the movie pitches that we make during the episodes, and I've been reading them at work and crying because I'm laughing so hard.
Oh,
so
nice.
I love reading things we said
and then forgot.
Typed out and then forgot about.
Yeah,
I totally had forgotten about the movie Million Dollar Getaway and got to listen to that again. But you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up.
If you want
to
help the wiki grow, go there.
What's the website?
I don't have it on hand.
Go to our website. You have like four printed pages of stuff. Why couldn't it
go
be
to
on
our
there?
Website?
Okay.
When you flophousepodcast.com, and there'll be a link.
There'll be a link to the wiki, and please help them fill it out with Flophouse information and exformation.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. I ran out of a
second. But they talk about your feelings over your friend's upcoming wedding, right? Your
well,
friend's
that hasn't
engagement?
Been updated yet. And not, no.
Okay. For the listeners out there, of course, Anne Hathaway got engaged. Mm-hmm. Elliot.
Very happy for
her. Yeah, he just got his invite, right?
Nope.
To the bachelorette party, right?
Don't expect to be invited to that or
bridal
the
shower. You'll be giving the bride away, I
assume. Not, that is also not true. Neither will I be presiding over the ceremony.
I mean, are you going to be very sad? Because I know you two have a history. So
we don't.
The yeah, fact that she has now made her final choice.
Are you going to give the groom a lot of... Are you gonna
it's
give,
not necessarily final, but...
Are you going to be giving the groom many knowing looks? Like,
No, I won't be there and
well,
never...
Well, I mean, you're married now,
you know, like,
and...
Tickle her ankles. She loves that.
That's creepy, and no.
No, wait, what else is he going to say, Dan?
Yeah, what are their tips?
Moving on. Also,
furs. Buy her a lot of furs.
Speaking of weddings...
she enjoys girl things.
If you want to see pictures of the fabled tuxedos, I'm going to throw something up on the Flophouse Facebook page just to keep it a little more private than have it floating around on the regular internet.
Yeah, with our millions of unique viewers to the Flophouse webpage.
And I think, you know, if Stuart, gives me an acceptable picture to share with all of you...
Of the wedding night.
I'll show a picture of Stu in full...
Consummation.
Possibly with his bride, I don't know. But
Well, we'll put that up.
So, but anyway, moving on to actual letters.
Also,
letters.
That's a warning, if you don't want to see us in tuxedo speedos, don't look at our Facebook page. Uh-huh.
Letters.
Well, Elliot didn't take part.
I didn't. Well, I'm wearing a tuxedo t-shirt.
Spoiler alert.
You'll see what
spoiler
happens.
Alert.
Yeah, you'll
come
see
on.
What happens.
You'll see. Watch what happens.
On right? Bravo?
Yeah.
Live?
The TV show that's not really a TV show?
This
letters
email is titled Ding Dong Gate, and it says,
okay, I like the sound of this.
I assume that's a gate made out of ding dongs.
Yep, it's like the movie The Gate.
It's from Dan, last name withheld, and it says, Dear the Flophouse,
that's us.
I'm a longtime fan of the show, but have only recently been moved to write in. Stuart, I downloaded and watched Castle Freak thanks to your repeated recommendation.
Downloaded? I hope someone got some money for that.
iTunes, probably.
Okay.
And it was well worth it. However, I need some clarification. I spent the entire film waiting in eager anticipation for a character to, quote, rip off his own ding-dong, but this scene never materialized.
Oh, it must have been
the
R-rated version.
The titular Castle Freak is missing his ding-dong, but I don't think it is ever explicitly referenced that he ripped it off, and it's certainly not shown on screen. Either that or I missed this pivotal shot and I need to rewatch.
Well, for one, I'd recommend rewatching it. For two, you might have gotten hold of an R-rated version because I clearly remember a ding-dong being ripped off.
Much like for people who watch the television version of The Toxic Avenger, you'll never know that the actual version of it is much crazier and, and unrated-er.
Never.
And it's the version I grew up with, and it wasn't until years later that I found out it was this, you know, bizarre movie.
And also, a bit of advice, never ever get the R-rated version of Dead Alive or Brain Dead. Get the unrated version.
Because the R-rated one is like 25 minutes long, right?
It is significantly shorter, and it is a butcher job in terms of like that is a crazy fucking splatter movie, and a lot of that stuff is gone.
Yeah. And never get the R-rated version of Bambi.
If you're a big fan of Lovely
Bones.
This
is not appropriate for children. Stick with the G-rated version.
On the other hand, don't get the R-rated version either of Debbie Does Dallas, because you will be disappointed.
Yeah.
Sure.
A lot of scenes will start and then stop abruptly.
And don't get the... and so forth.
Wow.
Look, let's let the audience fill in that bit.
Got another letter there?
I know we're running out of time.
This one's from Robert, last name withheld. It says, Floppers, I'm writing you to let you know that I'm acquainted with a former star of one of your favorite films, Private Lessons. In fact,
no shit.
I used to work with Patrick Piccaninny. That's
what?
Offensive.
That's no reason for that.
Who played the role of Sherman. People at work would secretly pass around the DVD and watch the video of his dancing scene at the pool. I never confronted the man himself about his former stardom. For the Where Are They Now file, Patrick is currently a lawyer in Ohio. As you can see, he ran for judge in Central Ohio last year. He includes a link to that. Anywho, just thought you would want to know.
Well, we do.
We do want to know.
Yeah.
If anyone else has tales.
He really benefited from those private lessons.
Yeah, it's a judgeship? Very impressive. Although I don't think, it sounds like he didn't get it.
If other people have stories about the stars of 80s sex comedies.
Yeah, please tell us.
They know. Sure. Yeah, we want to know.
And if Eddie Deason is listening, write in.
Like the
you don't have anything else to do.
Like the male lead in Late Consequence, Billy Zane. Where's he now?
What's he up to?
What's he up to?
What's he doing?
What's his story?
And that Brat Pack, where are they?
This one is from Beth, last name withheld.
A lady.
It says, Dear Floppers, I would like to make an amendment to Sarah, not Dan's wife's letter that was read during the Red Riding Hood episode.
Was that a letter from your wife?
And no, not Dan's wife.
Oh, not Dan's wife. With you, Dan?
Yeah.
Because it could be that, because your wife is not the wife of another guy named Dan.
Oh, God. This is
I'm confused already.
We're through the looking glass already on this one. But
chess is a game played with people.
She says, I feel that I have the authority to do so because Sarah is my sister-in-law. While discussing our favorite new crushes, the men of the Flophouse.
Whoa, let me guess, one man of the Flophouse.
Score.
Sarah informed me that she did, in fact, hear Stewart as Seth Rogen and Elliot as Vincent Kartheiser.
Which one's Vincent Kartheiser?
He's on Mad Men as, what's his face, the Weasley guy.
What, Pete Campbell?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take that. That's fine.
But what she didn't...
He's got a boyish charm.
But what she did not mention in her letter was that when she heard Dan, she pictured a giant talking teddy bear.
Accurate.
Shockingly true.
I thought it only right to call her out on this because before she said this, the thought had never crossed my mind. Why would it? But there was no going back. The image is now burned into my brain. When I listen to the Flophouse, all I can picture is Seth Rogen, Connor from Angel, or Pete from Mad Men, if you want to be all current,
yes,
and a man-sized snuggle bear sharing a bucket of Popeye's chicken and arguing over whether or not Duckburg is anti-Semitic. Now, try to imagine Dan McCoy, man-sized teddy bear, wearing a tuxedo.
Done.
Yeah, seen it. He's look, like Gooby.
Here's just one thing I want to correct. Popeye's doesn't sell chicken in buckets. They come in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Buckets are for KFC. It is not a good way to store or sell chicken.
It is,
But otherwise, I think it's time, Dan, that you revealed your secret. Dan was the star of Gooby. He sure played the part of Gooby. It's a lot very hard for him to find roles being a teddy bear man.
I mean, Robbie Coltrane afterwards did do my voice. I'm sort of like the guy who was in the suit for Darth Vader.
David Prowse.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that you're banned from Star Wars conventions.
Yep. That's for other reasons, though.
Yeah. Let's not get into those. Let's just say Slave Leia beauty contest and be done with it.
Do it. You look like you've got nothing to say about this. Why don't you say
I'm trying
something?
To remember which episode we spent most of the time talking about furries and yiffies and all that shit.
All of them?
Yeah, I mean, we probably talked about it. Okay.
I think
check it out later.
It sounds like it's up to some Flophouse fan artist out there to bring this image to life of Teddy Bear Dan.
Sure.
Possibly lusting after young women.
It might not be in his... It's hard now to reconcile your teddy bear qualities with your Pervazoid 1 qualities.
Oh, no, but that's the secret.
Yeah, one of them is a secret identity, yeah. But which one?
Oh.
Soft exterior allows me to lure women in for a cuddle party.
Sure. Yikes. And then they turn into something far more horrible.
So,
although cuddle parties are already kind of gross.
Kind of terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, a man-sized teddy bear, that's...
It's true. Yeah.
That hosts cuddle parties. I mean, it's tough to get all that stuff out of his fur.
Stuff?
Stuff, you know, like the stuff, the Larry Cohen movie.
Okay. Oh, and the stuff, like the white stuff that you eat and it blows your head up.
Yes.
Okay. Because enough is never enough.
So this letter is titled Bad Cop, Worst Cop. And it's from
We're talking about Maniac Cop, right?
Which one would he be, though? Because who's worse than him?
From Ed, last name withheld, and
I'm going to assume it's Ed O'Neill.
It says,
star of Modern Family.
Dear Pervazoid.
Star of Dutch.
Hold on.
And the Dragnet remake.
It says, Dear Pervazoid, Mr. Hathaway, party animal and house cat. This weekend, I decided to treat myself to an oft Flophouse recommended action classic, namely Tango and Cash. Gentlemen, I thank you.
Beauty in Motion.
Sounds like a poster I would have that has a hot chick on it and a Lamborghini. Like
Without your input, I never would have seen Kurt Russell cross-dressing, Terry Hatcher incorporating an electronic drum kit into a seductive dance.
Yeah, it fits, I guess, the dictionary definition of seductive.
Sylvester Stallone playing a stock market whiz, or the ultimate destructive power of a tricked-out Ford Explorer. All in all, I rated 117 Tumescent boners, spookily good bad. Congratulations on your nuptials, Stuart. I hope you managed to kill a bear with a flamethrower at your bachelor party.
Close.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost that. You'll see the pictures on the website.
Let's just say Stuart's not allowed back in Maryland.
Yeah. And there was recently a convention of bears in Maryland where I was vilified. An idol of me was thrown upon the ground and stepped on.
Mm-hmm. They swiped at it with their paws.
Sure.
Yep. As if batting fish from the lake, from the river.
No, we like to spread the gospel of Tango and Cash. Oh, it's so far good. And wide.
It's so wonderful.
That's the villain's fort that has a self-destruct button, right?
Yep. Yeah, sure. And also he has a hall of mirrors next to his desk.
For no reason.
For no reason. He likes to play with white mice.
Yeah, he's got the little maze for the mice to go through.
Yeah. Oh, that movie is perfect.
Again, lives in a world where if you blow up the evidence, you're exonerated from the crime.
That movie is perfectly stupid.
And I love... And, of course, Michael J. Pollard shows up at the end of the film as a character we've not seen before.
The retarded weapons genius?
The retarded Q character.
He is somehow an idiot savant when it comes to high-tech weaponry, mm-hmm. but works for the police department and builds them some kind of battle truck.
And the end of the movie features the front page of a newspaper featuring a picture of them where there was no photographer.
You don't know that. It's not a three-dimensional picture plane.
Hey, guys.
We're not in the danger room.
Yo, Tango, should we really call a press agent to have a photographer
No
out
need.
Here,
there's a scene, the parking garage chase scene, where... There's an empty parking garage, but when they need people to be in trouble, there's a homeless person with a shopping cart, someone with a bunch of presents, and two people having sex in the back of a station wagon.
Well, and also there's the Russian guy who, for no reason, is like, I believe in perestroika! Like, okay, that's a Russian thing that was current at the time. Does not apply here.
And Sylvester Stallone's greatest line ever, perhaps, about... You obviously haven't been watching your... Judging by the food in your refrigerator, you obviously haven't been judging your weight. Watching your weight, perhaps you've been too busy keeping your eye on the evidence you used to set us up! Doesn't make any sense. When I saw that movie in the theaters not recently, it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I was with you.
Yeah, yeah, when we went to go see it, the audience spontaneously applauded at that line. Oh, man. That is maybe the Citizen Kane of stupid movies.
It was a movie that we talked about doing for our next live Flophouse event, and we couldn't do it because the venue was going to do it for another reason.
Yeah.
But maybe if we do another Flophouse event in the future, it'll be far enough ahead that
because that would be awesome.
Anyway, last email of the night from Ashley, last name withheld. It's titled Elliot the Killer, and it's one line, all caps.
The Mike movie?
One line, all caps. Where is Simon Fisher? So clearly, Elliot's reign of terror.
Look, I'm the last person to ask where bodies, Simon Fisher is.
So the dead bodies you've left in your wake.
How many dead bodies? Name any of them.
Well, as we've established before, Danielle's former beau. Yep.
Yeah.
The woman who held your job before at The Daily Show.
No,
and
she's
Simon Fisher.
She's currently still alive.
All murdered by you.
You're like a talented Mr. Ripley guy.
And Andy Rooney. There's some suspicions.
Andy Rooney.
Yeah.
I am...
Talented Mr. Kalen over here.
Well, thank you. I am very talented. I'm what's called a double threat, but not threatening in a killing way.
Okay.
I am a writer-performer.
Okay.
And...
What do you perform?
Mostly...
Like country music?
Like
or?
Surgeries.
Oh, okay.
Nose harp.
Yeah.
So,
I perform one-man shows based on classic literature. Hop on Pop, for instance.
Sure.
The Little Engine That Could. What I wonder is, what if the engine couldn't? And I take the show from there.
The novelization of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie?
Well, the second one. I couldn't get the rights to the first.
Yeah.
So I do a one-man show of Secret of the Ooze. Okay. I play both Toka and Rezar.
All right.
And I have a reinterpretation of the ninja rap that I think you'll find quite delightful.
So let's do a quick run around to recommend some movies that we actually liked. That we've seen, that instead of Country Strong, maybe you should spend your time
good
on
movies.
These.
Sure, recommendations.
Yeah. I'll quickly go. I have two very fast. I saw a pre-screening of Young Adult, starring Charlize Theron and Patton Oswalt, and it is the best. We've made fun
thing
of
you've
both.
Ever seen, right?
No. I was going to say, we've made fun of both Jason Reitman and Diablo Cody on this show before.
I don't
before.
Know about made fun of. We've offered informed
we've
criticism.
We've said that they are overrated. I don't think that they're untalented
it's
people.
It's not like we call them like poopy face or something.
No.
I might have.
They have.
I don't want to say that I didn't and then get true. Caught out in a lie.
No, they both have
very fair.
Genuine talent, but have been overpraised wildly.
True.
And Young Adult, I think, is actually the best thing that either of them has done.
Hmm.
So I enjoyed that. And I saw, I can't remember the last word, it was either Machete Maidens Unleashed or Machete Maidens Unchained. It's a documentary about a period of time when exploitation movies were made in the Philippines. It was the same people who made the Ozploitation movie, Not Quite Hollywood. And there's a lot of stuff about Roger Corman, and it's just a fun documentary that's on streaming Netflix right now.
Oh, sounds good.
Elliot, do you have something?
I'll recommend also two movies. One is my monthly closely watched films screening series, Wednesday, December 7th, 7:30 p.m. at 92 I Tribeca. For those of you who are going to be in New York, I'm showing The Scarlet Empress, starring Marlena Dietrich, the craziest and best, in my opinion, of the Marlena Dietrich Joseph von Sternberg collaborations, about how Catherine the Great became Tsarina of all the Russias, and it's insane. It's basically the only time in history, I think, that all the resources of a studio film were used for the uncensored expression of one man's bizarre kind of fetishes and obsessions. And it's really good and a lot of fun. And I'm going to be joined with my special guest, Michael Kupperman, the cartoonist. He has it from Snake and Bacon's Cartoon Cabaret, Tales Designed to Thrizzle, in his new book, Mark Twain's Autobiography, 1910 to 2010. And for those of you at home, I'm going to recommend a movie called I Wake Up Screaming, starring Betty Grable and Victor Mature. It's basically a film noir movie, but it's from before the film noir movement really started. But it's a really crazy, like, fast-paced murder mystery thriller, and it's a lot of fun. So The Scarlet Empress, December 7th, and I Wake Up Screaming, whenever you choose to watch it.
Stu Rat.
Recently there was Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving to me is a time where you eat a lot of food and then you watch a lot of movies. One of those movies I watched.
You're selling us on movies.
Movies, guys. They're little windows of imagination.
I think you need an intro to segue into movies.
So I watched the movie Zapped with Scott Baio and Willie Ames.
Sure. A classic.
And I really enjoyed it.
It's
so,
one of the best salami-based pot hallucination scenes of any movie.
Yep, Scatman Crothers is pretty awesome in it. And I really... what I was wondering in the movie is if his superpower wasn't telekinesis, if his superpower was like he was just really strong, would the scenes where he like picks up and pulls guys' pants down and throws them around and rips girls' shirts off, would that be creepier than if he's just using his mind?
I think so, yes.
So it would be creepier if he was just a strong guy ripping girls' shirts off.
Because that's conceivable. That's the thing some crazy strong person could do.
What if he could like shoot out fire and the fire burned their shirts off?
That seems dangerous.
They would probably, there'd be so bubbling the, skin. I mean, it would
that,
not be.
So the best option is that he's got telekinesis, and he uses power almost exclusively to rip girl shirts off.
I mean, it is
off.
Still for a that. Form of sexual assault. This is glossed over in the film.
Okay.
But,
and especially the 80s, in the guys. Crescendo of the movie.
That's crazy.
But where the shirts are getting ripped off.
To be fair, he was hit on the head.
Yeah.
So he loses control. Mm-hmm. But his subconscious still wants to see boobs.
Yeah, and...
and butts. Let's not forget the butts.
I was a little shocked at how few boobs you see in that movie.
For yeah,
movie,
it's true.
Where the focus is a guy who can rip girl shirts off, and
I mean, this was a mainstream movie. This was not the point of this movie was to like
this is no Invisible Man.
Show a little boobs and then go on from there. This wasn't like, you know.
Well, you don't see that many boobs until the very end of the movie.
Well, you gotta
and
save it
like
till the finish.
Explosion.
Come yeah. on. Well, boob explosion.
A boob explosion.
I think, whatever the case, he is a sexual assault fiend. But yeah. with if he was using fire or his own strength, then there's no reason for the police to not just arrest him right there because everyone will have seen him do okay. it. But with
so
the
it's
mind,
like,
everyone's
like an
Wait,
American
what's...
Psycho type thing where he almost can't help himself.
Kind, but also like nobody knows how it's happening. So
okay,
it's like everyone is kind of huh, what, as opposed to mad at him for doing this
or having like salami based hallucinations.
Yeah, I mean that's an American Psycho thing too. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now that we've finally prosecuted Scott Baio, I think we can sign off for this episode.
We still have to
oh,
do
real
it
quick,
Zapped
I gotta
two.
I gotta promote
or Zapped again.
Go to Zapped to Charlene's Bar on Monday nights for trivia night.
All right, so if you're in Brooklyn, look up Charlene's Bar in Flatbush.
Go to trivia night. You'll probably see me and maybe these two turds.
Well, possibly
less likely now that you called us turds.
I thought that would inspire you to want to be better at trivia.
Oh, yeah.
And I won't call you a turd anymore.
Wait, but what's my reward then?
Not being a turd. You'll be a transformer.
Oh, that's awesome. That's way better than being a turd. Okay. Unless I'm one of those crappy transformers.
So while we study up on our
you
trivia,
you
I'm going to sign up.
Oh, awesome. You can be Soundwave if you want.
Can I be the one that turns into the cassette?
Yeah, well, wait, which one?
Guys.
The breakdancing one.
Guys.
Okay.
For the Flophouse. I've been Dan McCoy.
I've been Stuart Wellington.
I am, as always, remaining Ellie Kalin, unless I'm the transformer who turns into an audio cassette.
Good night.
This more crap. Oh, a little Sierra Nevada porter.
Why is George Lucas talking to Dan about a Sierra Nevada
porter? So, little laser swords.
Well, you see, Sierra Nevada is a character in the Star Wars prequels. So.